Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We are delighted now to welcome Chinese activist Chen Guangchun, who famously took refuge in the U.S. Embassy in Beijing last April and wound up moving here to New York, where he is now at the NYU U.S. Asia Law Center. His main issues are forced abortions and other abuses as part of China's one-child policy. You may remember he is blind. He's 41 years old. He's in New York now with his wife and two kids after the embassy drama. And he joins us now with Jerome Cohen, co-director of the U.S. Asia Law Institute at NYU and a friend of Mr. Chen for a decade. And interpreting for Mr. Chen, who is still learning English, is Ira Belkin, executive director of the U.S. Asia Law Center. Welcome to all of you to WNYC. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you.
Hi. Ni hao.
Mr. Chen, was your main issue in China forced abortions, or is it the one-child policy itself?
In China, the issues I focused on all relate to the human rights of ordinary people. And among the basic rights of ordinary people, I also paid great attention to the family planning policy, the one-child policy in China, as well as the practice of forced abortions.
So it was all of those things. I've read that the government is considering an end to the one-child policy because the population is now aging too quickly. Do you think the policy is near its end?
Ending the one-child policy in China should have happened a long time ago and should have been under consideration a long time ago. It's a policy that goes against the will of ordinary people. Many years ago, there was an idea that China would be stronger if the population grew, and so there were, people were encouraged to have more children. Later on, many people noted the problems of the growth in population, and so they adopted a policy of family planning and a one-child policy and even used violent means to enforce that policy. But this is a policy that goes against human nature and goes against the rights of the people and should have been ended a long time ago.
Do you think it is going to end soon because now they see the aging population?
Actually, the problem of the aging population has been already going on for quite some time. There are 180 million senior citizens in China, and so the ratio of children to elders is 1 to 4 and sometimes even 1 to 6. So one child is responsible for taking care of 4 parents or 6 elderly people. So that's become a social problem, and it was identified or recognized as a social problem as early as 2004 and 2005. And even in terms of employment, this became a problem. So this is something that should have been recognized even quite some time ago.
Professor Cohen, do you see the one-child policy changing soon? And if so, does Mr. Chen's case have something to do with it?
Well, I don't think Mr. Chen's case has that much to do with it, but I do think that there will be in certain geographic areas a relaxation of the policy. I think in Shanghai, for example, they're not going to be reproducing the population. They're going to be facing what Singapore faces. And in certain places in China, I think they will be encouraging people to have more children. But overall, it may take some time before a nationwide policy is altered.
When I was in China last month, Mr. Chen, I met a member of the Communist Party who accused you of not being a human rights activist, but just out for yourself because you and your wife violated the one-child law. You have 2 children. What's your response to that?
I don't think any member of the Chinese Communist Party has standing to accuse me of just being out for myself. If they really wanted to understand my situation, all they would have to do is go to my village in Shandong, talk to the people there, the villagers, and if they were allowed to speak freely, they would tell them exactly what the problem is. Actually, what's also happened is that people in the government and the party have actually issued threats to the local people in my village, the ordinary people, not to speak openly about my case, not even to mention my name. And sometimes they've tested this, and people who have spoken out have been punished. So the authorities are actually very clear about my case and about what I've done. They're just afraid that other people will talk about it truthfully and openly. The people have a very clear idea of what I've done and a very good evaluation of my conduct.
Why did you have two children and violate the law?
So according to the family planning law and policy and changes that were put into place in 2002, actually we were permitted to have two children. It's just that the authorities were not following the actual law. And it just doesn't make sense. It goes against human nature to have to ask permission to have a child. The one-child policy represents the will of the party, but not the will of the people.
Professor Cohen, has China's one-child policy, in your opinion, made some sense in their situation? A country of more than a billion people, most very poor, and they were trying to create a larger middle class or the opportunity for one. Maybe the opposite is India, also with a billion mostly poor people, where the birth rate continues to be very high. And one could ask which one really makes less sense.
Well, it depends on the time and circumstances. In China, distinctions have long been made between the rural poor countryside, where Mr. Chun lived, where policy has been more relaxed, actually, as he says.
Because literally they need more kids to work on the farms?
Absolutely. And if you have a bigger family, children will have to leave if you have four or five, as his parents did. But in the cities, they've been stricter about enforcing the one-child policy. But we should get clear. Mr. Chun is a human rights activist. He didn't start with opposition to birth control. What got him into it after a career that really tried to protect disabled people in many ways, unfair taxation, unfair labor treatment, unfair police and government treatment of disabled people. Then he got involved in forced really confinement of the families of women who were escaping abortion and sterilization. He was against the unfair police coercion, and that's what really upset him.
I was told that he likes to be referred to as an activist, but not a dissident. Why that distinction?
Because he is in favor of the Chinese government. He doesn't want to overthrow the Chinese government. He has always tried to improve its performance, and he tried to use law. He tried to go to court to use the authorized legal institutions to resolve problems and to combat oppressive government violations of law. He was trying to enforce their legal system, not overthrow it. That's why he's not really a dissident, although by persecuting him and persecuting now his nephew in revenge, they may be turning him into a dissident.
Mr. Chen, when I was in China, a pollster told me the one-child policy is not a big issue for most Chinese couples because 73% only want one child anyway, and another 12% want no children, so only 15% of the public even cares about this issue, so it's not a high priority. Do you think that's right?
I don't think these numbers can be real. They must be fake numbers and not really meaningful. I think if there were a publicly transparent polling process, you'd probably find that 80% of the people oppose the one-child policy. And if only 10% of the population wanted to have more than one child, then China wouldn't need the policy, and they wouldn't need to have people enforcing the policy. Among the 10%, or among the people who oppose the policy, of course, also there are people who are not in their childbearing years. So I just don't think these numbers can be accurate.
Mr. Chen, in this country, some anti-abortion activists have tried to use your case to argue that abortion itself is wrong. Is your issue only forced abortion or also to make all abortions illegal?
I'm opposed to forced abortions. As I said before, I'm somebody who cares about human rights and the violation of all human rights, all cases that involve violations of human rights. So the idea that someone would be forced to have an abortion against their will would be a violation of human rights and is wrong, and that's what I oppose.
How do you like New York?
I like New York. I like New York a lot. Of course, it's an expensive city and a crowded city. And although the pollution is not as bad as in many Chinese cities, but there is some pollution here too.
Do you miss China?
Of course. Of course I miss China. Chinese culture has made great contributions to the world and great contributions to humanity, especially on the spiritual side. Many of the good things in China, in Chinese culture, have been destroyed by the current authorities. They preserve and use the things that are helpful to them, but don't preserve and use the other parts of Chinese culture. Liking Chinese culture is not the same as liking the Chinese government and the authoritarian dictatorship nature of the Chinese government.
Professor Cohen, do you see any signs the new government in China will be any better or worse for human rights in general than the previous one?
Well, we have a mixed reading at this point. We have signals going both ways. A good policy has just been put into effect with the new criminal procedure law, and that has got hopes up. Some recent remarks made by the party head of the legal system have indicated that maybe the police power to send Chinese citizens away for as many as 3 or 4 years with no court approval, no prosecutor indictment even, that may be diminished soon. On the other hand, we see continuing oppression every day, including today in Beijing. Villagers who supported him, who went to Beijing, were severely beaten up by the local police who trailed them and took them back to Shandong province.
Mr. Chen, when you were at the U.S. Embassy in Beijing, did the Obama administration side with you strongly enough? Some critics say they were going to let China keep you if there hadn't been such a big outcry from others.
I feel they gave me a lot of support. Whether it's enough or not, I'd let other people decide. Any government, whether it's the Chinese government or the American government, they should be serving the people. The government and the country belong to the people, not to the leaders. If the American people feel the American government hasn't done enough, then the American people should say so. I feel in human rights in general, the American government hasn't done enough.
What more could they do?
I feel that when it comes to some of the human rights disasters in China, the American government can do a lot more. At least they could do as much as the good people of the United States are asking them to do.
On what issues other than the ones we've spoken about?
For example, just today I heard news that villagers from my home village went to Beijing to bring to light issues regarding my case and to see to it that the government lived up to its promise that they made to me before I left China, which was to have a transparent investigation of my case. When they got to Beijing, they were taken into custody by police and forcibly brought back to Shandong, and on the way, many of them were beaten in a very serious way. And this is a matter that I think everyone should give some attention to.
Do you hope to go back to China, or have you broken too much with the government for that?
I definitely want to return to China in the future, and I think the change in China is inevitable. China will move towards a more constitutional government, towards a society under the rule of law and a place where rights are protected. I think it's just a matter of time, and I hope it won't take too long.
So have you discovered any new foods in New York, new music in New York, or new activities in New York?
Of course, I've discovered some new foods. I haven't discovered too much new music. I listened to a little bit. And in terms of activities, I see people just freely engaging in whatever activities they want, a lot of free speech that wouldn't be possible in China. I'm involved in some of my own activities. New York is an incredibly diverse place in terms of food, people, activities. So whatever you're interested in, whatever you're looking for, you can find it in New York.
What new foods?
I have discovered some new things. For example, in Indian restaurants, I've discovered mango lassi, which I really enjoy.
Mango lassi is very New York. Chen Guangcheng, Ira Belkin, Jerome Cohen, thank you all so much, and good luck to you, Mr. Chen.
Thank you.
Thanks.
谢谢。
I'd like to say one more thing.
Please.
I just want to thank the people of New York and the United States and the audience for listening to the program and for the concern you've shown for our situation. And I just want to say hello to everyone.
Thank you. And you're welcome. That interview, recorded yesterday and edited for a smooth mix with the voices of Mr. Chen and his interpreter. Coming up next, the movie Zero Dark Thirty. Now that it's actually out, maybe it glorifies intelligence wonks more than torture. Stay with us.